Hi, this is Warren Rogan of the Sports Forgotten Heroes podcast, here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on a grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind from French press to espresso and his favorite roast depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's Sterling, S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G, soap.com.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to Football's Family Podcast. And it is draft time. This, when I'm recording this, it's the Wednesday before the draft. And I'm excited, as always. This is, for NFL fans, this is Christmas for people who have teams like me, who is picking first overall and didn't trade for it. So this is the best we can look forward to ever. I mean, that's just it. That's the only thing we could look forward to for a Titans fan. But I know you're looking forward to this because I have a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
It's me. I'm back, Travis Creasy. the good old-fashioned dislike podcast. Love coming on here with you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me again, even though, like I said, on all of my podcasts, like, don't take my word to the bank, please. I'm not a betting man, and you shouldn't be either, especially on anything that I say. So,
just do what he says, not what he does, that sort of stuff. Or don't do what he does, you know. Just listen and enjoy is basically what it is.
So and think about how badly I messed it up tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you could bet on that. That'd be a sure bet. So what we're going to do today, Travis, is basically what we did last year. We'll do top five picks, and if you want to throw in a trade or anything like that, you're more than welcome to. For what I understand this year, of course, I'm not an Edgar Cayce type person. I don't see things coming. I don't see any trades happening. I don't see anybody jumping up to get anybody. And if they do, it's going to take a hefty load because the first pick is pretty much done. It's the second one that I think would be an interesting one. Would you jump up to Cleveland's spot at number two to get this particular player? But we'll get to that. Right now, let me see. I've got so many different drafts that I got the book was Lindy's, I think, this year, and it was pretty neat. So we got five picks. The first five picks, according to ESPN.com and other places, Titans number one, the Browns number two, the Giants number three, the Patriots number four, and the Jaguars number five. Now, it's up to you. You can go against the norm, or you could just go with the flow, because I think the first pick is pretty much already done.
Yeah, this is one of those times where I'm like, man, I should have my son out slinging the football every day, because, like, it's just come to the point. They're almost like the NBA with quarterbacks. Like, they draft them based on their ceiling, which, man, you are blowing a whole lot of money. But if you get it right, you know, if you spin the wheel and get it right. And I don't know that if I'm the Titans, I don't trade, to be honest. I'm not going to say they will.
Well, but I follow a lot of people on Twitter and other places that said the deal's already been done.
Yeah.
I wanted the trade.
Yeah.
I wanted the trade. I wanted them to trade down at least two or three spots. I think Jackson Dart would have been one of those guys to look at. Even the Jalen Milroe's from Alabama, if they waited to the second round. But I guess what I understand about this particular player, and do you agree with me on this pick? It's Cam Ward.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think it's 100% Cam Ward. And I mean, I guess it's the safest pick. The only issue I have is, like, is he all those guys you mentioned? I mean, I think he's an upgrade, but not by much. I don't know that it's, you know, I've watched him play a little bit, but I mean, watching him, I wasn't like, oh man, This is the stud quarterback somebody needs. I don't know that this is a great draft class for quarterbacks, and maybe that's why I'm
No.
coming across, but I agree, just for the show's sake, that yes, it will be Cam Ward.
Now, last year, I want you to look according to, again, ESPN.com. Last year, he had a 67% completion percentage, 4,313 yards, 39 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's insane. The problem I have with, and I don't have a problem with the person in particular. I just, when you're put in the number one position, I did one last week about the last 15 number one picks, and several of them were quarterbacks. If you're picking number one, unless you trade up for it, you need a quarterback because you're that bad. Would you take the number one pick and put it on a guy like Cam Ward, who does have a high ceiling, but played in an offense where he's slung the ball? You're not going to find that in Tennessee. We don't do a lot of that. And
Well, I think any quarterback, any of these quarterbacks, if given time, if they're not shoved right into starting, they could be good quarterbacks. They could be serviceable. They could be even great, honestly. I mean, but I just feel like they're going to want him to play. You know more about that than I do. I mean, I just assume the Titans are going to want him to step in day one.
they'll put him in. They didn't really do a lot on free agency this year, and there's still Will Levis is still on the squad, which that probably would change by Saturday. I think he might be traded off. Will Levis killed us for mistakes. It wasn't for his lack of abilities. It was just the first game, I think he threw two pick sixes and we lost to the Bears. Shouldn't have lost that game, but for the Titans, they have so many different needs. Offensive line, we've had the last two first round picks, we picked stud offensive linemen, but you have three more. And they've been like a revolving door where the defensive backs or tackles will go past them. I don't think you pick an offensive lineman in first overall. They did that, I want to say, in 2014 or 15 with Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel, and Fisher lasted. He lasted and won a couple of Super Bowls, but Luke Jokel was out within year three. You don't pick offensive lineman number one overall.
Yeah. It's just not that player, though. I mean, it's not even really the Titans' fault. I mean, it's their fault they're picking number one, but I don't know that there's just a whole lot of players in this draft that I'm just like day one game changer. You got the Travis Hunter of the world, but even he, there's some like I want to play both ways. I don't know how that
No, 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 no,
necessarily
no! Don't do
works
that. Do
in the
not do that.
National Football League,
You,
but.
Deion Sanders did that, but he is Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter. Well, we'll get to him in a second. The
Yeah.
only one that I want to see, other than Cam Ward, would have been a dual Carter. I think he would have been a monster with Jeffrey Simmons. It
Yeah,
would
I
have
mean,
been insane.
I think even there I'm not in charge. I'm sitting in Fayetteville, Tennessee, not in charge of anything. But I agree with you there. Like go get an edge guy that's going to wreck the other team and cause the chaos, but I agree. It is Cam Ward first overall to the Tennessee Titans.
They've probably already signed, thanks to the rookie wage scale, they've already signed him for a 4-year deal. I think he would have a, I think his, it's all agreed on. He has all this. It's contract that they can't negotiate. It's going to be that he'll get a 5th-year option for $20 or $30 million, and they go from there. He guaranteed money's big for the first overall pick. That's
Oh, yeah.
huge. They did this because of Matt Stafford and Sam Bradford breaking the bank, where they were getting $60 or $70 million guaranteed for not even playing a snap. So
Oh, yeah.
I
Yeah.
remember that.
It's kind of like playing college ball now.
Yeah, how are y'all feeling in Tennessee right now, UT fans? Y'all,
Oh, yeah.
I respect Josh Heupel even more now. You don't give in to that.
Well, I agree. I mean, there's a line where you have to do it, but it is kind of funny to me that Tennessee did it to themselves. So, anyways.
I'm not saying a word. I'm not saying a
Hey.
word.
I love the draft hat swag there, brother. You got it
Every
going on.
year,
I
every
love it.
year.
I love it.
I kept a couple of them because they get a little bit old, but the one I really like are the ones that have the Tennessee on the side,
Yeah.
Tennessee State with the three stars in it.
Yeah.
My grandmother a few years ago gave me some money and said, "I want you to buy you something Titan." So I bought the draft hat, and that's been 7 or 8 years in a row now. You got to do it. Got to do it. Got to commit, even though their hats are going way too high. Anyway, I watched draft day yesterday. I'm getting
Oh, of
ready.
course.
I'm getting ready for it. And they still drafted the defensive man in the first round, the first overall pick. It doesn't change.
No spoiler alert
No.
there.
Well, I mean, if you haven't watched it now, shame on you. Chadwick
I think we
Boseman
had
is
the same
amazing.
conversation last year.
We did. We absolutely had the
Shame
same
on you
conversation last
if
year.
you hadn't seen it.
Yeah. It's I liked it. Second overall pick, the Cleveland
The
Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Now, the Cleveland Browns have one big problem, and they have a lot, but the biggest problem is that Deshaun Watson deal. I believe I might be off on this year. It might be this year or next year, but his cap hit $69 million.
Oh man.
Because they have pushed it aside. They pushed it back. They have it eventually be a dead cap because he won't be on the team. So you have to find and they picked up, they got Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, which are not. I like Kenny Pickett, I like Joe Flacco, but if you're looking for a game changer, they're not
Those
going to
aren't
do it.
long-term answers to the questions that the Cleveland Browns have, you know.
No. You have $69 million, which takes up, I want to say, nearly a fifth, if not a fifth, of your salary cap in one person
I
who's
mean,
not even
speaking
playing.
of botched moves in correlation to quarterbacks, bringing up the Vols again, but man, like you had Joe Flacco on the roster. You let him go to go, and you got Watson. I mean, and now he's back. You know, just hang on to that guy.
Yeah, Joe Flacco got you until the playoffs. Not last year, but the year before that. Can you just stick with him? Well, he was the comeback player of the year that year.
Your bar is so low. Like,
Oh, yeah.
don't act like you've been you're something that you're not.
I think Joe Flacco would be a serviceable quarterback, Kenny Pickett, too. But I don't even think Deshaun Watson's playing this year. $69 million cap hit. You cannot fill a roster. And then they paid Myles Garrett, which he deserved it. Myles Garrett's a monster. What,
So
$40 million?
which Colorado player is going to Cleveland here? And that may not be your pick,
Oh no,
but
I believe it's smarter to get Travis Hunter.
that may not be your actual pick, but which one is more likely? You're saying Travis Hunter.
I don't think Shedeur Sanders will go number two. I think he
I'm the
goes.
same. I'm in the same boat. I think Travis Hunter. That is my pick. I think Hunter will go to the Browns, number two overall. But
I
I
think
think he's.
Shedeur Sanders, if the Saints are smart, they would trade up to get him. He may drop to number nine to them. I think he would be a perfect fit for them, but for the Browns, I mean, go with Travis Hunter and put him as wide receiver. Don't put him as a cornerback. But if he wants to play both, you're going to get hurt, dude. The NFL's a little different than Colorado.
Oh, yes.
But I think watching him play, I don't think he was a product of Dion's system. I think he was a monster, is a monster, who, given a quarterback that can do something, will be 1,500 yards easy a year. I don't know if Pickett or Flacco is that. And if you think about it, if the Browns are picking, I don't have the list here. I don't know if you do, of like who is picking in the second round or third round, the levels. I would think that they would take a swing at if Jaxson Dart dropped to them or they move up. I think they would take a swing at him or Milroe from Alabama, which I like him too. He is not a day one starter, but he's a project.
I think Milroe. I mean, if it was just fantasy land, don't you think the Ravens would love to have a Jalen Milroe as
Yeah, Milroe, I should say.
a Lamar Jackson backup, like the clone? If all else, or even fourth and ones, or short yardage guy. You know, I was always kind of the question of like, why would the Patriots not go get Tim Tebow? And instead of putting Tom Brady in on fourth and one or third and two, you got a guy back there that if he gets hurt, it's not the end of the world, but he'll get you 2 yards. But I'm also a Ravens fan, so that may be fantasy
All right,
land.
that's the
Please
last we're
go
going to
there.
talk to Travis Kreese here. He won't be coming back. I still haven't forgiven the Ravens for 2000. Yeah, that was the closest. I think the Titans should have shot. Titans should have won the Super Bowl the year before that, but that was the best team I've ever seen the Titans play, and then they lost to the Ravens. Yeah. Anyway, No, I think Travis Hunter would be the safer pick. Shedeur
Yep.
Sanders would probably be the flashy one that would sell tickets, but if you want excitement,
I don't know. Flacco, he's still got a live arm. I mean, he's gonna sling it. So, I don't know about 1,500 yards, but
I think if he had a quarterback, he would go 1,500 yards easy. He's just that good. He Travis Hunter is one of those guys. Let's see. Let me pull up his stats here. Listen to this. This is college. This is how crazy this guy is. All right, just insane. 96 receptions. Insane for college. For pros too. 1,258 yards, 15 touchdowns. Good gracious. He went off. And that's why that's one reason why with the Titans, I would love to see him go number one, but you have to have somebody to throw him the ball. All right, number three, the Giants. Who do you got?
And this may be the smartest pick of the top three, and we've already talked about him earlier. I'm going with Edge. Abdul Carter from Penn State goes to the Giants, although they need plenty of QB help. I've seen people say Shedeur Sanders here, but once again, I think they go Edge with Abdul Carter
I'd
or
like to
trade
see.
or trade. There may be a trade. I don't know.
This is where I think if you find a trade, it'd be this pick or the next two. If you're smart as the Giants, you go Abdul Carter. You do. And you make him out, you give him the ability to become a Lawrence Taylor, which there's never going to be another Lawrence Taylor, but you get somebody like him. The Giants have so many holes. But if you have one guy that can come off the edge to least, because you think about it, look at the quarterbacks he has to deal with in the NFC East. You have to have somebody that can slow them down. All three, well, I'd say the Eagles and the Commanders have the better quarterback than Dak and the in Dallas. But Dallas, Dak is a good quarterback, period. I just think the other two are better. But if you don't have somebody that can pressure them, they're going to pick you apart for days. It's not even funny. So you think Abdul Carter? I agree with you. Now here we go. Here we go. This is the part where I'm running into some problems here. What do you think as the Patriots? You are the New England Patriots who are not used to picking this high. Get used to it. That's what the Titans do just about every year. It just grows on you. Who do you pick number four overall?
I am going to go on the front, the offensive front, and take Will Campbell out of LSU for the Patriots. I don't know when the Patriots, and this may be flashy. I'm not sure. I'm not, I'm an Alabama fan, so I've seen Will Campbell, but I'm kind of like you. I don't know that necessarily an offensive lineman is flashy. I think they're worth a tackle is worth the money you pay them, the edge guys as well. I love these big hog mollies, but as far as like people you're gonna know, this isn't like the most flashy call, but the Patriots aren't known for that. I don't know when the last time they made a big splash. Maybe Mac Jones, I don't know, but I don't even think that counts. So I think they stick the long game here and go with Campbell out of LSU at tackle.
I'm looking at the Titans got rid of Mike Vrabel last year, and I disagree with that. I don't mind the coach we have now, but Mike Vrabel was the
Dude,
guy.
yeah, I
Patriots pick
agree.
him up. And Mike Vrabel built a team that beat you from the front back. And when I say front, I mean Derrick Henry would knock you down, but he had enough offensive line help to do that. And the defense couldn't stop people on third down, but they were solid. He would not go flashy. I don't think he would do that. I don't really think there's anybody out there. I'm looking at some of the other people that they could pick. I don't really see anybody that we would consider flashy. To me, Travis Hunter is the most, and Abdul Carter are the two flashiest people, which.
And if I'm being honest with you, I don't, there's not a whole lot of names that I'm just super, even as an Alabama fan, I mean, that I'm not, I think we'll keep the first round streak going, but just barely.
Yeah, we did it last year. Okay, on this particular draft, mock draft, They have Shedeur Sanders going 21 to Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to last that long. I think New England or New Orleans is going to get him. I
Here's a
think,
hot take for you. Here's a hot take.
yeah.
I'll give you two.
Go ahead.
I'm very sad that Jalen Milroe is going to be in Green Bay. I think they're setting him up to be the oh sad story. Look at him fall, you know, and maybe he's making bank to do it. And if so, even better. But you know, if I probably shouldn't say this because people will turn the podcast off. But like, as far as ceiling's concerned, give me him over the rest of the field, to be honest. Maybe not Jackson Dart. I like Jackson Dart. I think he's more of an NFL style quarterback, but like, man, I've seen the worst in Jalen Milroe and I've seen the best in Jalen Milroe. And you know what? Both come against talent. Like, some of these guys have not played NFL talent week in and week out. And I think sometimes that Jackson Dart has, right? Jackson Dart has. So I might pump the brakes, but I don't know. I don't know that either one of those guys are going to have just a tremendous career, Shedeur Sanders or Jalen Milroe. And, you know,
I
if you can get Milroe in the second round,
I
third
think
round.
Milroe will go third round. I think Dart will go second round.
Yeah, I agree.
I think somebody will. I'm looking at the bottom here. I think somebody will take a flyer on it. Let's go here real quick. I know we're way off subject here, but that's okay. That's where
Well,
we
that's my
wanted.
fault. That's what
No,
you kept
we
bringing
got time. Don't worry about that.
out.
I think looking at some of the bottom ones, Detroit. Oh, golly, they have James Pierce Jr. going to Detroit. That would be insane if they got him.
Oh, hey, that's exciting.
They don't
Yeah,
need
that's
that help.
exciting. That's an exciting player.
He
I
is
forgot that he was
insanely
in.
good. He is. And Sampson from them, I don't know if he's a senior or not. I think he was the I cannot think of his first name, the running back. He is a monster too. He should go in
Yeah.
the top two rounds. But I'm looking at Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. Trade down, somebody trade up and get Jackson Dart. I think he would not be he won't start day one, but I think he'll be all right.
I
I think
agree.
Will Campbell goes number one or number four. Drake May needs the help. And I think Drake May showed us last year when he's healthy, he is the real deal. Although on this, it's say Jalen Walker from Georgia is up there too. Jalen Walker, I watched him play several times. He is a beast too. Georgia has a way of finding pass rushers. I don't know where they find them, but they do.
Yeah,
They do.
they want to play for Kirby. And I can't blame them.
Oh, I can't either. You get to tee off on SEC East quarterbacks. Come on, sign me up. All right, number five. Now here is the part where I don't think I'm all about this one.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're probably looking at the same one I am. Jacksonville, who they pick?
I think in my heart of hearts, and I don't know that this is a great way to go. And I'm gonna be honest, I went to the major services and I added up, I took their top 10 picks and then I put beside each player where they rank and did like an average of who did what. And that was kind of what was informing my decision. And this one was tough. It was very, very close. And in the averaging, it ended up being the Boise State running back, Ashton Jeanty. Out of all the averages of seeing the pick, and that one I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm going to stick with my process, even though it's very mechanical, but I'll go with
No,
Ashton
and I
Jeanty.
respect that. That's something that I appreciate. I like it. I like doing that too. I don't see Ashton Jeanty being that guy though. I don't see him going to Jacksonville. Actually, I see at this point the Raiders. That everything I'm hearing, Raiders, Raiders, Raiders.
Oh yeah.
I see them jumping up if they have any instinct because the Raiders having Jeanty in there. Good gracious, that offense. Jacksonville needs a whole lot of help. And if
Hey,
they don't go
that's a good
him,
thing for your Titans is like there's nobody, I mean, the Texans have been good and they can be good, but like the wild card for that division's wide open if somebody wants it. And really the division, I think. There's
well, the
nobody that I'm
Titans,
just like, those guys are amazing.
I knew the Titans couldn't win the division after about 3 or 4 weeks in, but I thought, just play well enough to wild card, and of course they didn't. Houston is going to be the class of that division because of their quarterback and Will Anderson, all those guys. That draft that they got
Oh,
those
yeah.
two guys, golly,
Yeah.
signed that GM up forever.
Yeah.
But you have Jacksonville, Indianapolis, I think with Anthony Richardson, they're not going to be up there. I think Anthony was a good pick, but he didn't pan out. So really, Houston is the model in that area, and I think they will be for a while. For the Titans, though, I guess it's wishful thinking because I don't want to see Ginty out there running around the Titans defense because he'll run. Have you ever seen the videos of Tecmo Bowl Super Bowl with Bo Jackson?
Oh yeah.
Him running
Run
all
the
the way.
clock out.
Yeah, running all the way around and then going back. That's what Ginty would do for the Titans. I don't know if he will be the one. I would love to see them go for a Jalen Walker. I think he would just wreck havoc here. I think he would just awful. It'd be awful for the Titans. But I'm with you. If the Raiders do not move up to get Ginty, I think that the Jaguars will.
Who do you think is the most likely trade there in the top five?
Top
Who's
five would
itching?
be I think the Patriots will be willing to move. Vrabel does. He's very aggressive. And if somebody says we'll bundle up, of course, it's the fourth overall pick, and this is not the most fancy, flashy draft that I've ever seen. But this is the fourth overall pick, and if somebody offers you a first and second and third, I would do it. I think the Patriots would go. I think Jacksonville will go, and I think that just moving up one spot, Oakland or Las Vegas would do that. I think Las Vegas, from what I understand, is pretty sold on this guy, and they just got to do something. So I wouldn't be surprised within you'll hear the Titans take their pick pretty early because it's already picked. I think Cleveland and New York are locked in. That the Patriots Jaguars pick would be my two that would be flipped.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Cool.
I
Cool.
don't know. So that was a top five. Last year, I think we were pretty dead on, minus the trades. There were no trades. We were off on that. I do believe that this year, I don't really see the teams changing much in terms of power ranking. I think if the Lions add James Pierce, they win the NFC North. They win it handily to me. I think Minnesota stepped back with getting rid of Sam Darnold just a little bit. Now I'm convinced that the quarterback they picked up last year from Michigan, he is pretty good. McCarthy, I think he's pretty good, but I think that Darnold was ready to play in that system. Now he went over to Seattle. I don't know how they're going to do. So I think the Lions win that. I think the Commanders and the Eagles go after each other in the East, and I think the Eagles are going to probably be the class of the NFC next year too. AFC, I would say that I don't know. The AFC seems to be a little bit more wide open in my opinion. Buffalo and Kansas City are two teams that you look at, but Buffalo
Yeah.
and Kansas City are also running into salary cap due to their quarterbacks. So, what do you do?
Yeah.
I don't know, buddy. We'll have to have you back on here. I think this we'll be messaging. I think we messaged each other a lot last year saying, hey, we did that
Yeah.
one. We got
Well, I
that one.
mean, I think I have to come on here and, personally congratulate you on the Vandy Alabama State Championship, right? Like,
Yeah.
Your boys own the state. Then they won the Birmingham Bowl, right? I
They
mean,
did
like,
win the Birmingham Bowl. I had
just to put some stank on it.
Well, you know what's funny? I was in Nashville at that time. I had my girls that weekend. We went up to the zoo, and I knew just the zoo. Well, Nashville, the zoo is
Yes, sir.
here. West End is down there, just not that far away. And I was like, well, the Commodores are playing Alabama. I had a chance to get tickets, whatever. I was with my girls. That's more important. And I clicked on my phone, and Vanderbilt was up. And I think they were running away with it. Of course, I knew Vanderbilt football, that won't last.
Yeah.
And it did last. And I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe after all this time following Vanderbilt that they actually beat a number. I didn't realize they've never beat a number one team ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and their
I thought
quarterback.
about you a lot that week. I thought, well, either way, Jeremy's going to be happy. So
Well, I'd have
at
been
least I
happy
know
one way
one
or the
happy
other.
person.
And I needed something last year to hang my hat on for
Yeah.
football because I wasn't getting
Well,
it with the
you know,
Titans.
at least you beat Auburn, like, two. If you lost, beat us, beat Alabama, and then lost to Auburn, I would have been unhappy. So at least you beat Auburn, too.
That year, last year, I told so backstory, and I know we gotta let you go here, but I do appreciate you. Backstory, I grew up a Vanderbilt fan all my life, and never seen a winning season. Never went to a game that they won. And in 2008, I move up here to Hurricane Mills, and I went to six or seven games because their tickets are just nothing, $20 to get in. Now it's not so much, but then it was. And I told myself, I will go to the bowl game. If they ever have a bowl game, I will go to the first bowl game I can go to. That year they did it. They went to the Music City Bowl, which was easy, but I had to ask my bosses to change the service times from Wednesday to Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they did it, and I know I'll never be able to have that happen again, but I went to the Music City Bowl, and that was the coldest game I've ever been to. And I remember my wife and I riding home, and we'd have it on the radio, and then we went to Dick's Sporting Goods and had it on the TV, and I was at the game, and then I watched it when the next year I went to another game, and somebody walked up, and they had the ring on their finger. And if you've ever seen the Music City Bowl ring, it's about the size of those ones that you get for state tournament wins for like Pee Wee Ball,
Yeah.
about that big. And it looked just like that. I thought, well, you won a bowl game, might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
They
where can
work
we
hard.
find your stuff, Travis?
Oh, benandtravis.com is the best place. We got a bunch of free content there. If you listen to a couple of those episodes, you might find a young Jeremy McFarland on there. Young as in a couple of months ago,
Yeah, a couple months ago.
but
We're not getting any younger, are we, buddy?
no, sir. No, sir. But benandtravis.com, if you love the football stuff, I got the good old-fashioned dislike, and it's just a rivalry podcast where we pick there's a panel, and we pick who we're cheering for based on team colors, mascots, whether they beat Auburn or Tennessee or whoever last year. It's just a lot of fun, real short, real fun. But we did March Madness this past year and all that good stuff, so. If you'll send me the audio, I'd gladly post this on there as well. So,
I will send it to you. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
absolutely, man. God bless you, dude.
And thank y'all for listening to Football's Family.
It is time to bring back the game that teaches players how to think. Modern youth soccer is more organized than ever, yet many young players are missing one of the most powerful development tools in the game: unstructured free play. The importance of unstructured free play, coaching with a street soccer mentality, challenges coaches, parents, and player development leaders to rethink how young athletes learn. Drawing from decades of coaching experience, child development principles, and the timeless lessons of street soccer, author Giovanni Pacini shows why creativity, decision-making, resilience, joy, and soccer IQ grow when players are given space to explore the game. The Importance of Unstructured Free Play, Coaching with a Street Soccer Mentality, is a book for grassroots coaches, youth soccer directors, parents, educators, and anyone who believes that player development should produce more than organized drill followers. It offers a practical approach for balancing structure with freedom using guided learning, constraints, small-sided games, reflection, and activity designs that let the game be the ultimate teacher. Order your copy of The Importance of Unstructured Free Play, Coaching with a Street Soccer Mentality on Amazon today.